Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Fault Lines, A History of the United States Since 1974 is a nonfiction history book by Kevin M. Cruz and Julian E. Zelizer that explains how the United States became increasingly polarized from the mid-1970s onward. Rather than treating current division as a sudden or purely contemporary development, the book traces it to a set of long-running political, economic, social, and media changes that accelerated after 1974. It uses major turning points such as Watergate, the end of the Vietnam War, the oil crisis, and conflicts over race and gender to show how trust in institutions weakened and ideological conflict deepened. The book is written for a broad audience and combines scholarly synthesis with a clear narrative style, making it useful for readers who want a historically grounded explanation of modern American polarization. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, 1974 as the turning point for modern American polarization. The book centers on the argument that 1974 was not just another turbulent year, but a structural turning point in U.S. history. Watergate, Nixon's resignation, the closing phase of the Vietnam War, and the energy shock created by the OPEC embargo all converged to undermine public confidence in government, national power, and shared civic purpose. Cruz and Zelizer treat these events as more than separate crises. Together, they exposed a wider loss of legitimacy in American institutions and signaled that the post-war consensus was breaking down. This framing matters because it shifts the explanation for polarization away from recent personalities or isolated elections and toward a deeper historical rupture. The book argues that many later developments were built on the instability and distrust that emerged in this moment, making 1974 a lens for understanding how the political center began to weaken. Secondly, how economic change and inequality widened the country's social divide. A major thread in Fault Lines is the connection between political polarization and long-term economic transformation. The authors show how deindustrialization, the decline of manufacturing, inflation, and uneven growth weakened confidence in the promise of broad prosperity. These changes did not affect all Americans equally, and the resulting disparities helped intensify resentment, insecurity, and partisan conflict. Economic pain also interacted with race, class, and geography, especially as some communities experienced decline while others adapted to a new service-oriented economy. The book does not treat economics as a separate topic from politics. Instead, it shows how material changes reshaped voter coalitions, encouraged anti-government rhetoric, and made compromise harder. By linking inequality to political identity, Cruz and Zelizer explain why economic stress became part of a larger culture war rather than producing a unified response. This is one of the book's strongest contributions because it shows polarization as a social condition, not only an ideological one. Thirdly, race, gender, and sexuality as enduring fault lines in public life. The title Fault Lines refers in part to deep social divisions over race, gender, and sexual norms. And the book emphasizes that these conflicts were central to the making of polarized America. The authors describe how civil rights gains produced backlash, how desegregation struggles revealed continuing resistance to racial equality, and how feminist and gay rights movements sparked new forms of conservative mobilization. Rather than treating these struggles as side stories, the book places them at the center of the post-1974 transformation. It argues that debates over equality and social change repeatedly forced Americans to choose between competing visions of citizenship and national identity. As these disputes intensified, political parties increasingly sorted themselves around cultural allegiance as much as policy. The result was not simply disagreement on individual issues, but a widening sense that the country was divided over basic values. This analysis helps explain why cultural conflict became so durable. It was rooted in changes to the social order itself. Fourthly, the rise of a more fragmented political and media system. Another key argument in the book is that polarization grew stronger because the institutions that once filtered and moderated public debate became more fragmented. Cruz and Zelizer trace changes in party politics, campaign strategy, and governing norms, showing how elected officials became more willing to use conflict as a tool rather than seeking broad consensus. At the same time, the media environment shifted dramatically. The rise of cable television, talk radio, the internet, and social media gave Americans more ways to consume politically tailored information and less exposure to shared narratives. This mattered because polarization is not only about what people believe, but also about how they encounter and interpret public events. The book shows that as information channels multiplied, common ground became harder to maintain, and political identity became more emotionally charged. This section of the argument is especially important because it connects institutional change to everyday habits of attention, helping explain why division became more persistent and self-reinforcing over time. Lastly, from Reagan to the present, why polarization kept deepening. Fault Lines follows the consequences of the 1970s rupture through the Reagan era, the Clinton years, the post-9/11 period, and into the age of Obama and Trump. The authors show that each era contained efforts to restore unity, but those efforts operated within a political environment already shaped by distrust, cultural conflict, and fragmented media. Reagan's coalition strengthened conservative mobilization, while later presidents governed in a context where both parties were increasingly tempted by ideological hardening and strategic confrontation. Even moments that briefly produced national solidarity, such as the response to September 11, failed to reverse the broader trend. The book's long view is important because it resists the idea that polarization has a single cause or a single recent trigger. Instead, it portrays modern American politics as the product of cumulative pressures that repeatedly push the country farther apart. This makes the book valuable as a historical explanation of the present, not just a retrospective of past events. In conclusion, Fault Lines: A History of the United States, since 1974, is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically grounded explanation of why American politics and society feel so divided today. Students, general readers, teachers, and anyone following contemporary U.S. politics will find it useful because it connects current dysfunction to long-term structural change rather than reducing it to one election, one leader, or one media cycle. The book offers practical intellectual value by helping readers see how economic inequality, racial conflict, gender politics, institutional decline, and media fragmentation interact over time. That broader framework makes it more illuminating than books that focus only on recent polarization or on a single issue area. What distinguishes it is its wide-angle approach and its balance of synthesis and accessibility. It is not simply a partisan argument about blame. It is an effort to explain how modern America became so hard to unify. Readers who want context before judgment will find it especially worthwhile because it makes the present seem less sudden and more historically legible. If you would like to support Kevin M. Cruz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.